Hello and welcome to the Dublin Narrative Podcast. I'm your host, Jonathan Giles. On tonight's show, Monday, September the 22nd, I'm joined by regular Gunner fans and pundits, Eamon Donnelly and David Sims, to review yesterday's 1-1 draw against Manchester City at the Emirates Stadium yesterday. Remember to catch our show on Spotify and also on the Dublin Narrative YouTube channel. So sit back, enjoy the show, grab a beverage, and enjoy. As I said in my intro, to my guests, first of all, lifelong Gooner. It was sat beside him yesterday, and on the show as always, Eamon Donnelly. How are you, pal?
Even Jonathan, even David, just to say to you, by way of update, David O'Leary has finished his cookery class, and he said he asked me a question that I wanted to ask you. As I say, what's the difference between a mushroom and a toadstool? At the end of the day, speaking of cookery, a mushroom goes on a pizza, a toadstool comes out of an amphibian's arse. As I so there you go. That's what Dave had to say. Evening. All good.
Evening. I'm also joined by another lifelong gooner from London himself, David Sims. How are you, pal? All good?
Yeah, good. Just recovering. I'm glad we're doing it a little bit later today because my voice wasn't there this morning at all. Literally, I had no voice. I think that was one of the atmosphere built and built yesterday, and I think yeah, by the end of it, we were all a little bit need a bit of lubrication, I think, to try and bring that voice back.
Nothing that a few creamy pints didn't sort out, I'm sure. Yeah, just before even we go into the review, it's my first game in a year since the Brighton home game, and myself and Eamon were just saying in the concourse before we made our way into the seat, Eamon, the atmosphere was electric. The songs, the youth now following the Arsenal, what Arteta has built on that side of things, Eamon, it's just incredible, isn't it?
Well, the atmosphere was the best before the game that I can ever recall. And I remember saying to you, Jonathan, well, he has his faults, Arteta. He's still learning, you know. Sometimes he got a few things wrong yesterday. But don't ever anybody say to you that he hasn't reconnected Arsenal Football Club to the fans, because yesterday, it's just, I've never seen anything like it before the game. And well, we were gobsmacked, Jonathan, you know. We were like, you know, we were looking at it kind of going, Jesus, you know? Yeah.
Yeah,
So,
I've never.
yeah.
It's, it was absolutely electric, you know, with the Ashburton boys and the Concords as well. And it's a different type of excitement that I've seen. It fans are in anticipation now. They can feel that something special has grown. From your side of things, Dave, I'm sure you see a different atmosphere now. The pre-match now, you can. It's electric, isn't it? It just gives you goosebumps, doesn't it?
Yeah, I think up on, I'm in the North Bank, in the front row by the corner, and what I've noticed is people get in earlier. They start making noise earlier on the concourse and within the stadium with the bowl itself. People get in earlier, they're chatting to their mates. The ability for our chants and our songs now, when new players come in, literally it's hours, and suddenly you've got a chant that just sticks. And it's unbelievable. I remember, you just didn't get that sort of quickness of songs to come through, and everybody knows them because a lot of the people that go to the Emirates now also go home and away. So, there's a real connection. And yeah, and what Arteta's done is fantastic, even down to the smallest things. And I know he's been given some stick as well from it, but removing the tunnel canopy for the entrance is a great idea. It's a lot better when the teams come out, they go straight into the noise. They're not coming through that red plastic tunnel anymore. He's definitely allowed the increase of the Ashburton Grove army as well this year, which is great to see. And they try, they had the fireworks, didn't they? We had the flames and everything, which adds a little bit of spice to it. Yeah, City. I think City realised that they were in for a serious game from the outset because of the atmosphere was like you say, electric, building all the time.
Yeah, absolutely. And Long may continue the progress that we've made under Arteta, and long may the fan base get younger and younger. Because something is happening at the Arsenal, and it is special. In terms of our match yesterday, of course it was 1-1. Erling Haaland scored after 9 minutes, which, pretty much from the 9 minutes onwards, really the time it scored around the 93rd minute, when Gabriel Martinelli scored a beauty of a lob over Gigi Donnarumma in the Man City goal. It was pretty much, you were nearly watching Mourinho there, parking the bus, Manchester City. I do believe that they fared us yesterday, and I think we deserved probably to win that game. Nearly 2-1. I think City weren't anything really special. I think if you take Haaland out of that team, they look pretty weak, up front. But the difference, I have to say, the return of Rodri, he gives them that midfield a bit of stability. Nani Madueke was looking at this morning reports that he went off injured at half time. Oh, he felt a bit of a niggle in his knee. Hopefully that's not an ACL tear, another injury that we don't need, but a player that's really been impressive the last two or three games, so hopefully this week the scan will come back that it's only a niggle. But coming to yourself, David, what did you make of the team lineup yesterday for the Arsenal?
Well, obviously, it's the lineup surprised me. But then again, and I've mentioned it before, I think we're in a four quarter game now where we start with a team. He knows he's going to change it. Obviously, we ended up making a couple of subs straight at half time. Obviously, Madueke had to go off and Saka came on. And it's like the team sort of, it morphs and changes throughout the 90 minutes going into the extra time. And he knew that there'd be a long length of time at the end. I think there should have been more than 7 minutes, but in the end, the time wasting that Man City did throughout the whole game came back on them because we scored the equaliser in the extra time. So yeah, I was surprised about, but at the end of the day, we're in a situation where he didn't want to lose the game. He knew that he would be able to make the changes. The players are still gelling. And I think it shows that Man City, and particularly Pep, was scared of us. I mean, he said it quite honestly that he had to play so defensively and park the bus because he was concerned that we were going to get back into the game and possibly take the game. So it was very un-Man City, wasn't it? I
Yeah,
mean, it
100%.
was, it was anti-football. It was, but what I will take, my two big takes on the game were that, if that was a Champions League semi-final against Man City, or against, more importantly, like a Atletico Madrid or a Juve or a Napoli or something like that, they would play like that, and we showed that we can get back into the game and possibly win it with a neg playing against a very, very anti-negative style of the opponents. So that was the positive I took from that game yesterday. It was very much like a later stage Champions League game playing against, at the end of the day, Pep's probably the greatest manager in the world at the moment. And for him to realize that we are so powerful, it again shows Arteta's doing his job. He's making a great team and squad there. If you've got Pep worried, then surely something's good's coming out of our team.
Yeah, 100%. When you've got one of the best coaches in the world parking the bus after 1-0 up, we've seen in yesterday year against City, they'd go on to kill the game. But yeah, you could see the fear factor that Arteta and the squad has grown, and the signings as well. Eamon, we spoke a lot yesterday beside each other about this match. But was yesterday's draw, Eamon, a valuable point gained, or two costly points dropped? And also, in terms of the team selection, do you think the midfield was kind of lacking a bit of creativity, which we were saying ourselves, and where he maybe should have started?
Yeah, I'll be honest with you. I'm a big Arteta fan. I think he got the team selection wrong. But I think that's me talking in hindsight, right? Because I don't think he expected Man City to play as defensively as they did. I think he probably expected a game of chess rather than a game of who dares wins. The midfield to me looked a bit, the midfield three looks like a stodgy midfield for a home game that you need to take the initiative. That's why I wanted Bagnardi in the team for that creative spark. But I'm just listening to what David said, and I put it in my notes. I think the way he saw that game going was a game of chess for an hour. And as people are getting worn out trying to cover here, there, and everywhere, spaces open up. And that's the point where you need your most creative and effective forward players on the pitch. I think that's what he decided to do. What wasn't in the script was going behind after 9 minutes. And the goal, I can't believe the goal because I can't believe, and he's a hero of ours, we love him. I can't believe that Gabriel decided, and I think it was because we were so kind of up to dominate Haaland that he got caught in like a Jack Russell chasing a parked car. He got up way, way too close in their half to try and win the ball off Haaland when it didn't actually matter if Haaland won the ball. So, to my mind, a central defender should never cross the halfway line unless A, it's a set piece, right? Or B, we have the opposition pegged back to a point where you're an outlet to recycle possession. There was no need for him to go where he did. We can call Haaland the dickhead all you like, but he's a superb footballer. He's got serious pace
Yeah, he's
because,
a big lad. Yeah.
once Gabriel got touched tight to him,
Yeah.
if you look what Haaland does, he moves the ball immediately in a split second. Gabriel's out of the game,
Yeah.
right?
Yeah.
And
Yeah.
Saliba then, like we were kind of looking at it on the day, Jonathan, and we were saying, how did Rangers run through the midfield like that?
Yeah.
But they said there was no midfield because the team was shaped in a certain position. Gabriel actually went ahead of the midfield, created a big hole behind him. Haaland spotted that, gives it to Rangers. Now Rangers is running at Saliba. So Saliba's got a decision to make. He might have been better off just coming out and fouling him, you
Yeah, I think
know.
so as well. Yeah.
But
Yeah.
you know, so that the point I made, the reason why I'm talking about the goal is that wasn't in the Arteta script. He expected a game of chess, I think, right? And then
Yeah.
to get our potent players on when they were getting a bit weary trying to contain us. But we were very brave to come back the way we did. And look, we dominated the second half in a way that, like, okay, let's say he gets it right and we put all these players on the pitch and all that. How many times have you seen Arsenal against big teams go gung-ho and be 3-0 down at half-time? We've all seen it, you know? So, I think probably Arteta is a little bit scarred by that. As a player himself, he was on the wrong end of a few of them, you know? So,
100%, yeah.
I, as I said, I think he got the lineup wrong because I think we're actually better than he gave us credit for. But Man City are good. Like, if that Man City team went to Anfield and played with the same discipline, Liverpool will find it very difficult to break them down. You
100%,
know,
I mean, yeah.
they're very, very good. They're not the shambles they were last year,
No
right?
way, no way. No.
And they, like, in fairness to Guardiola, he's always had, you know, he's always been able to be a flat track bully. He's had more resources at his disposal than everybody else. Yesterday, he realised we're better than them. And he cut his cloth according to his measure. So I know David says anti-football, but I think what he did was he decided he's, you know, to do everything he could so as that we wouldn't paint them. Just on the Matuidi injury, Jonathan, there's a rumour circulating that's ACL. I cannot see how that's an ACL injury because I don't think he'd have been able to walk around like that. To me, that looks more like a strain on the medial ligament.
Yeah,
You
yeah.
know, which is weeks
Well, I
rather than
was
months. Hopefully, I'm right, you know.
about an hour before we started this. I heard that almost confirmation it's not an ACL, and it's going to be 6 to 8 weeks. So you know, I mean, again, we've been unlucky because we've had an injury almost every game now. Literally every game we've had an injury, but we've got players coming back. And also in that position, yeah, we've got Saka back in that position. And we have Nwaneri, and we have Max that can play some minutes, and I'd like to see him get some minutes in the Premier League. I think Max will play against Port Vale, which
Yeah,
will be
but
fascinating
David,
to
we
watch.
also have Martinelli back.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
And can I
Exactly.
just say one more thing? I mean, people were saying Eze should have started. I just want to cover this. And I said this to you in the ground, Jonathan. To me, Eze looks just a tad over his fighting weight. I don't think he's fit, right? And I can understand that because that boy has known all summer he was going somewhere. He was hoping it was us. Then it didn't look like it was us. How could he apply himself in pre-season training mentally? Seriously now, and I don't mean turning up and doing it at the level of intensity that you do to get right up to game speed. I just think he's a few weeks off fitness.
Yeah.
So I'd put Eze in the middle of the field against Port Vale on Wednesday night and get him to run as part of that getting fit program. I just
Yeah,
thought I'd
no,
say
I like to see.
yeah.
I'd like to see Eze on Wednesday. Just going back to the game. Gyökeres has been given a lot. Has been having a few pelters at him for the game. I think when people are watching it on TV at home, they don't see the constant running and the constant dogged attempts he does to try and break up that up on the goalkeeper. I mean, he's there in their faces all the time. He's like a pit bull. And if he keeps doing that, he's only going to get fitter. He's only going to get stronger.
Yeah.
There was one key point where he had the ball. I don't know if you noticed it in the centre circle, and the Man City player just managed to get his toe on it. If Gyökeres had won that cleanly, he would have done another Haaland, and he would have gone through on goal. And it
And
was fascinating.
David, to add to that, there was a ball that Trossard put across, flat across the 6 yard box, and when I looked at it, I said, Jesus, Gyökeres has been caught flat-footed, but if you look at it closely, it gets a nick off the Man City defender, which just brings the ball behind him. It makes it look as if Gyökeres has been caught flat-footed, but I can tell you, if that doesn't get a nick, he's putting that into the net, and then all of a sudden he's a
Absolutely.
hero, and all the
Totally.
reaction, I have to say, has been really, really disproportionate to, the
Shocking.
outcome. And in answer to your question, Jonathan, of course it's 2 points lost. But if you say to me, looking at those four, six games of the season, if we nestled in 5 points behind after those four, six games, while our players are getting more fit and better, I'm happy enough with that, right? I would have looked at the game against Man City and Newcastle as a pair of games and said, I'd be happy with 4 points from those two games. But we've got to go and win at Newcastle now. So it is a couple of points dropped. But we got to go and atone for that in a game that you would ordinarily take a point from,
Gabriel Martinelli,
I agree with you.
he scored a beauty, certainly David. He scored a beauty against Bilbao when he came on after a minute in the 70 minute and last week, certainly in the Champions League over. And he assisted a goal for Trossard, of course, in that game, three valuable points. But yesterday's goal and coming off the bench, that first touch he took away from Guardiola and then to finish it off with a beauty of a lob that. I was delighted that Donnarumma was beaten for that performance that he put in against us in the second leg of that semi-final. But do you think, David, he's given Martinelli, he's given Arteta a bit of a headache now? Should Martinelli be starting now, in your opinion?
I mean, that is the million-dollar question, isn't it? I mean, he's been able to do these performances because he's coming on later stages of a game in a different quarter. He's coming on in that third quarter into fourth quarter timing when there's more space, when players are tired, later stages, and he comes on and he just wants to score. And it can take him 36 seconds or it can take him 5 minutes, but he does it. So if that system's working, saying, okay, start the game, that whole mindset's different. So I don't know. I mean, I think at the moment, unless the injuries become and the shape of the team keep him coming on, maybe bring him on, directly after 60 minutes and get him the run out at the end and see. But he certainly is, he's on fire coming on as a finisher, as Arteta calls him now, not a sub. So yeah, I don't know. I mean, and regarding the 2 points dropped, yeah, absolutely. I would have loved to have seen us batter them again 4-1 yesterday. You know, I think if the game had carried on for another 10 minutes, we would have got a goal. I think the atmosphere was unbelievable. I mean, the noise levels in that extra time was just something. It
It's
was
incredible.
unbelievable, wasn't it? It was driving
Absolutely.
the ball into the net, and
Was.
the
Yeah.
players fed off that noise so much, you know. So yeah, we've got to keep that. We've got to try and get that level at the end of that game into more during the 90 minutes as well. As fans, we've got to try and create that atmosphere. But yeah, I mean, I totally agree with you, Eamon, about the, you know, we've I think we've got the we had the second hardest start of the first six games in the whole out of everybody, you know. And yeah, we've done incredibly well. You know, we're right up there. We are second, and you know, we've played five games. And obviously Liverpool, yeah, I mean, they've been very lucky. They've been machine-like. They've got their wins. I think we've done incredibly well when we're trying to integrate new players into teams and we're getting injuries, and yet we're still second in the league and
Yeah,
we go and stuff.
but no, I think this season, unless there's catastrophic injuries, I think we're going to get stronger and stronger as the season goes on. But can I just ask you a question, Jonathan, about the Martinelli thing? So you said the question you asked David was, do you think he should start? So where would you start then?
No, you know, I'd probably start him down the middle. I think that's
Okay,
from
well then
what
are you
I
going to
saw.
start?
From what I,
Well then,
you're
so
not
that means you're.
obviously Gyökeres, a big money sign in Eamon. He has to start Gyökeres now. But
Well, no, you see, well, you can't start the two of them. So, like, the question was, where do you start them? Because the reason why it's
preferably
not
Eamon, in
going
my
to. No,
opinion, it'd be
hang
down the
on.
middle, but he's never going to get that chance, you know.
Well, hang on, hang on.
What I saw against Bilbao, sorry, Eamon,
Hang on. Let me
the
deal with this, right?
damage
Because
that he
I want to point out a technical
he can
point.
cause to centre
Jonathan.
backs is immense.
Jonathan, let me just point out a technical point, right? And I think this is feeds into what David was saying, right? Look at the positioning of Martinelli on the pitch when he comes on late. He's not stuck out on the left-hand touchline. So when we start Martinelli, he's stuck out on the left-hand touchline. We don't get a supply to him early. So therefore, he's hemmed in at the wing, and we're expecting him to do all sorts of trickery and all sorts of wizardry. In a tight game in tight spaces, right? That's unfair on the lad, I think. So when he comes on late in the game, the way he did, look at where he goes on the pitch. Against Bilbao, where he goes goal from yesterday, he's actually running across the front line. Even though Gyökeres was still on the pitch, right? He's actually running across. So the game evolves over the 90 minutes, right? More spaces become available. And he's a great man to sniff out where that space is. And that's what he did yesterday. If you look at the picture Eze sees when he gets the ball, Martinelli actually has gone into a space. He's seen that Man City have pushed up. He doesn't get lazy and get caught offside. And he actually says to Eze mentally, you know, there's a space, pal. Now, that being said, the ball was great. But I can tell you the touch and the finish. I watched it back on Arsenal.com, and I love David Hilliard as a co-commentator. He always calls it. But that was world class, that finish. You know the way they say, if a Brazilian did that, we'd be all raving about it. Well, a Brazilian did do it. You know, it was
It
actually world
was
class. You know,
forced touch
one
to
other
get
point I
away
wanted
from
to make
him.
was we should add a penalty as well, and nobody's talking about this. I am sick and tired of all this nonsense about referees that are going to clean up all this pushing and jostling in the box. Erling Haaland had two pulls at Gabriel, and as the ball is landing on Gabriel's head, he actually pushes him over. Now, David Hilliard said, who I love David Hilliard, but David Hilliard said, probably not enough for a pen. Now, I just want to talk about that for a second. So if that happens on the halfway line, and a fella pushes the fella over, it's a free kick all day long. The rule for a penalty is a foul in the box. It doesn't have to be a stronger foul. It's a foul in the box, right? And looking at it again, right in front of the referee. So I just think our set piece kind of prowess has been blunted a little bit by the fact that The referees have just decided they're not going to do anything. So you can block. It's American football now at this stage, you know. So anyway,
So we saw
that's
yesterday,
one for
Eamon and
Europe.
Davies, the amount of time that it took up to the 70, what was it, 73rd minutes or so for Donnarumma to get the yellow card for the time wasting and goal kicks. You know, the dark arts as usual with Man City, but
But this was
Davies.
despite the fact that they made a big announcement that they were going to crack down on
Yeah.
all this, and there was going to be a corner given after 8 seconds. Nonsense, you know.
Heard Leno done this in the game against Brentford the previous evening. He done it once. He got a straight yellow for it. Donnarumma, I counted at least 8 or 9 times he done that yesterday. The officiating yesterday was really awful by as well, to be honest, in terms of ourselves. But that's another.
Donnarumma was at it from the start. In fact,
Yeah.
he tried to put the canvas up back in the tunnel before the game started just to get a delay. You know? I mean,
But
the point
that assist,
let's
David,
be honest.
sorry, the assist from Eze for the goal from Martinelli, it made Donnarumma, he didn't know whether to track back or stay where he was. And you could see when I was looking back on match day two, the frustration of Pep Guardiola, how high his centre backs had moved up. That's the quality we signed Eze for, though, David, wasn't it? That Emmett assist we saw, he done that for Palace on numerous occasions. But it was just pure quality, wasn't it, when you look back on it?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, yeah. I mean,
Yeah.
what I just wanted to say quickly about Donnarumma. I mean, yeah,
Yeah.
we can say that he was time wasting, whatever. Listen, we all know that we've done that a lot this. We've developed that. Ray has developed the situation of taking things slow, really is. So we can't have a go. We can't. I really think. But what I will say regarding the dark arts and what they were doing, it's the first game I've ever seen where there's a throw in. And the ball's just sitting there on the corner, on a white line, and there's not a Man City within 30 yards of that ball. The ball boys put it on and said, "Well, there's the throw in," and the refs goes, "Well, who's going to take this throw in?" And they have to run someone over from the halfway line on the other side or the centre circle to come and then take it. And then a free kick later on, there was a ball set up for a free kick. And not one Man City player was anywhere near that ball for about a minute. They were just looking at it, thinking a ghost was going to come and kick it. I mean, that's all great dark arts, which delays and breaks it down. And again, that is Pep deciding that he's got to play that way because he just wants to run the clock down. But of course, it bites you because we go and score the we can score the equaliser in the 94th minute. And again, I think we should have played for at least another 10 minutes because
Yeah,
it
the
got
amount of time.
even. There wasn't any football in those after 90 minutes, bar our goal. I still think we could have got a winner. I still think we could have got a winner, but we didn't. So, it didn't happen. Yeah, I mean, the other thing is, it was great to try and get something on. Man City had 33% possession
Possession.
yesterday,
Yeah, when
which
you
is
when yeah.
unheard of.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Unheard of,
Yeah.
you know?
Yeah, when you keep a team of that quality, and the contrast, as Eamon said, of when we won 5-1 back in February to death to the squad Man City have, yes, you could see the work rate from all the Man City players. Completely different with chalk and cheese from what we saw at that from that 5-1 drubbing. I think that kind of opened Guardiola and City's eyes that. Things have changed here. We're not going to be the dominant team anymore. And Arsenal made a huge statement that day. In terms of yesterday's results, Liverpool are top of 15 points and ourselves with 10. At this early stage of the season, would being behind 5 points now, would that worry you at all, Dave? A small gap, but still, does that worry you at all, being 5 points behind at this early
No,
stage?
because look who Liverpool have played and look who we've played. That's the
Yeah.
starting point, right?
Yeah.
Look where we've had to go, right? We've played Liverpool, fair enough, up at Anfield. That one's out of the way. We've gone to Old Trafford. We've played there. We've had City down at our home. We've had Leeds who are doing well and they're a good team. Forest, okay, they had their problems with their manager, but they did get Ange come in, and that could have been a tricky game, but it wasn't. So the games have been difficult, and of course, I'll be honest with you, it all comes down to if and when we beat Newcastle next Sunday, that's a huge statement game. I can't tell you how, after what we've been up there before, I'm going to the game next Sunday. I'll be there. I'm thoroughly looking forward to it. It's about time we went and got revenge up there and we played well and we beat them. We win that game because in doing that, having go to New, we'd have gone to Newcastle away, Liverpool away, Man United away in our first six games. And if we end up with 13 points, happy days, guys. Happy days, right? So, but we have to win on Sunday. If we don't, then I would be concerned because then Liverpool, I don't know who they're playing. It's Southampton, isn't it? They've got
No,
Southampton.
Liverpool are away at Palace, and
Oh, are
also
they?
we've been,
Chelsea.
well, hold on.
Oh, okay, fine.
Liverpool are away at Palace, and then
Fine, good.
the following week they're away at Chelsea.
Yeah, they're two
Right,
massive.
good. So that's good. Well, there you go, you see. There you
Yeah.
go. So it's going to start, I'm not concerned. Thank you, Eamon. I'm not concerned then about that 5 points because we can be sitting in 3 weeks' time and be ahead of them. So we just got to keep on the coattails. We've got to keep in second and we've got to keep just behind, snucked in behind on the rails, right? And start getting some consistency. And but listen, the away fans will be up in Newcastle. The team will be lifted. They'll want to get revenge of what's gone on. There's no Isak there. It's going to be an interesting game. We got Port Vale on Wednesday night first, which is going to be fascinating because we're going to be putting out our B and C team. A lot of kids, a lot of change stuff. Again, great opportunity for this club to go on into the next round of that competition. Yeah, things are good. Things are bright at the moment, still.
Yeah, still positive note there from you, David. Eamon, with 5 points, were you at this early stage of the season, maybe
No,
you played Liverpool,
no.
especially as you says, the fixtures that they'll have will, they've yet to meet a tough test really in their first
No,
five
that doesn't
fixtures, are
worry me
they?
at all. I'd rather not be 5 points behind.
Yeah.
But when I looked at the 4-6 fixtures, I actually said it on this show, if we can come out with them 4 or 5 points behind, we're in the mix. And what I'm saying about this team is, if we're less than 6 points behind at Christmas, and we're not absolutely obliterated by injuries. We're all going to get injuries, but not obliterated, right? I think we're going to be really, really strong in the second half of the season when that team gels. I really do, you know? So it's all about keeping in the mix. And a win at Newcastle would really help, you know? So no, I'm not overly concerned. Liverpool aren't playing well at the moment, but I don't want to make this show about Liverpool because, you know, if people think Liverpool are going to keep winning every week, that's not going to happen, you know?
Yeah, it's impossible. They're bound to get injuries along the way as well.
And
Man
apparently, they're not playing well. And one of these days, they're
Yeah,
not playing well, and they'll
you
be beat,
can't
you know.
always be waiting for the last 10 minutes to get goals as well. Yeah, 100%. Man of the match, David, from yesterday versus for ourselves.
Oh, I mean, you've got to give it to Martinelli, haven't you, really? I mean, he came on and saved our bacon, I mean, he was, and I mean, Madueke again was great, but obviously he's got his injury and went off. And again, it's really hard to pick man of match because when you have so many players come on and they all do their little cameos for 5 minutes here, 10 minutes there, you're like, who was the man of the match? We conceded. And like you say, we've had a chat about Saliba and Gabriel. So, I just think, you can't look. I personally can't look past Martinelli.
Man of the match, Eamon, from yesterday.
Calafiori.
Yeah, he was immense yesterday, wasn't he? Yeah. I probably yeah, it's always tough in a game like that, but I'd
In
have
three
probably
efforts on goal.
yeah.
You
Yeah.
know?
I'd only give it to Martinelli just for that touch to get away from Guardiola and then the exquisite lob over Donnarumma and for all the time wasting he'd done yesterday, it came back to bite him in the arse. So happy days, Gabriel Martinelli. Just like to thank David and Eamon for coming on this evening. That's a pleasure to have you on as always. You can catch our show on the Dublin Nurse YouTube channel and on Spotify. So until our next show, have a good one, lads, and up the Gunners.
Cheers.
Cheers.